Rapid fire. Camp Lejeune Justice Act and attorney fee caps. As talk about attorney fee caps heats up in Washington, Congress continues to grapple with how much is too much in terms of attorney fees related to Camp Lejeune Justice Act, CLJA, attorney representation. The range in proposed fee caps has deviated widely between a 2% to 10% fee cap first proposed by Senator Dan Sullivan, Republican, Alaska, and more moderate measures ranging from 25% to 33.3%. Unfortunately, the discussion about fee caps leaves out consideration of capping costs, which are separate and distinct from attorney fees. An attorney in any litigation typically recovers fees and costs. Attorney fees are like wages and equate to time and labor of the attorney and their staff. Fees do not include case costs. Attorney costs are generally unknown at the commencement of litigation and are defined as expenses incurred in litigation. These relate to such things as court filing fees and postage courier fees, but also include claim development costs that include medical nexus costs. To be clear, a good CLJA attorney will not limit pursuit of claims to conditions, diseases the government considers presumptive to toxic water exposure. These are considered easier cases, as a medical link between a presumptive condition and the exposure is considered already established. A medical nexus opinion is necessary for a lawyer to establish a link between a particular medical condition, not deemed presumptive, and a disease condition claimed as related to toxic water exposure. To use an extreme example, medical research documents a known link between toxic water exposure and excessive tooth decay. This condition is not on the presumptive list. Attorney costs are relevant to the attorney fee cap debate because these can amount to thousands of dollars. Indeed, one prominent attorney in the CLJA field has publicly suggested that his firm will be spending between $100,000 and $300,000 in medical costs per claimant. These costs will come out of any award to a veteran claimant. Putting this into perspective, say a veteran signs a fee agreement for 40% attorney fees plus costs. If this veteran wins a $300,000 settlement in court related to toxic water exposure and his law firm spent $150,000 in medical development costs, the veteran's award after fees and costs would be $90,000. $300,000 minus $150,000 times 0.60. This means the law firm would recover $210,000 in fees and costs. This doesn't seem right, and is precisely why any discussion about attorney fee caps must also include a cap on costs. The American Legion has entered into a memorandum of understanding with Bergman and Moore LLC to help veterans understand the CLJA. Bergman and Moore has capped its fees and costs at 33.3%. This means that regardless of medical development costs associated with the case, the veteran claimant will never receive less than 66.66% of any court award. Using the $300,000 award example, the veteran would receive $199,800 in a court settlement, a difference of $109,800. If you are interested in filing a CLJA claim, you may speak to someone personally by calling 800-898-9450 or by filling out the form at www.CampLejeuneLitigationTeam.com/AL. If you have questions before filing a claim, you may call Elizabeth Hartman, Bergman & Moore's CLJA liaison with the American Legion at 252-497-7255. The Legion encourages veterans claimants to reach out to a CLJA attorney for any condition they think may be related to toxic water exposure while stationed at Camp Lejeune. Back in action. American Legion Washington Conference held in person for the first time since 2020. 93.8% attendees at the American Legion Hiring Our Heroes job fair who reported that the fair helped broaden their knowledge of employment opportunities. With congressional offices at last reopened to visitors, the full American Legion Washington Conference returned February 26th through March 1st, following 2 years of virtual meetings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. This year's conference culminated in American Legion National Commander Vincent J. Jim Troiola's testimony before a joint session of the House and Senate Committees on Veterans Affairs. He outlined the Legion's top priorities for Congress in 2023, including implementation and oversight of the PACT Act, VA modernization, and mental health and suicide prevention. On February 28th, during the commander's call, conference attendees received briefings from members of Congress, VA staff, the military, and Oksana Markarova, the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States. The American Legion family members headed to Capitol Hill to meet with their representatives and senators and share the Legion's legislative priorities. To us, suicide prevention is a pact we share with our friends and comrades of military service. A promise from each of us in the American Legion to be the one to save at least one other veteran from suicide. American Legion National Commander Vincent J. Jim Troiola. When VA health care was lacking, untimely, and confusing, the American Legion was there. When our female veterans lacked access to imaging services and modern technology, the American Legion was there. When members of the greatest generation needed medical services and nursing home care, the American Legion was there. As our veterans from Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom struggle to transition from combat, struggle with mental health, rejoining the civilian workforce, and exposure concerns and benefits, the American Legion was there. Your dedication to supporting our nation's war fighters remains resolute. Marine Corps Brigadier General Stephen Lightfoot, Director of the Corps Capabilities Development Directorate, speaking at the Commander's Call. Watch videos of National Commander Troiola's testimony, Commander's Call speakers, Sons of the American Legion wreath layings, and more. Legion.org/Washington Conference. Surveillance Balloon Intercept Honors World War I Hero. The tandem of F-22s that intercepted and splashed a Chinese surveillance balloon near South Carolina used their mission call signs to pay homage to a World War I airman who carried out a very similar mission more than a century ago. As Task and Purpose reports, the call signs Frank-01 and Luke-01 were a tribute to 2nd Lieutenant Frank Luke Jr., who shot down 14 Imperial German observation balloons over France. Hailed as the Arizona Balloon Buster, Luke was the first Army Air Service airman to receive the Medal of Honor. How fitting it is that Frank-01 took down this balloon in sovereign airspace of the United States of America, said Air Force General Glenn Van Herk, commander of the U.S. Northern Command. Legacy Motown Review to headline National Commander's Banquet. The National Commander's Banquet will be Tuesday, August 29th at the Charlotte Convention Center during the 104th American Legion National Convention. The featured performer, Legacy Motown Review, describes its act as paying homage to the music that molded multiple generations and gave Detroit a claim to fame other than cars. The legacy takes you back to the days of the Drifters, the Coasters, the Jacksons, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Temptations, and so many more legendary icons. Four dancing, singing performers are backed up by a 6-piece horn band. Tickets are $60. Contact your department adjutant for more information. Taps at World War I Memorial can be dedicated to post namesakes veterans. Every afternoon at 5 Eastern, a uniformed bugler marches forward at the National World War I Memorial in Washington, D.C., and solemnly sounds taps. The Doughboy Foundation provides the Daily Taps tribute and other such programming for the memorial that was brought to life in 2021 by the National World War I Centennial Commission, on which the American Legion has a seat. The foundation offers the opportunity to dedicate the daily tribute to a member of the U.S. Armed Forces who served in the Great War, and many Legion posts have already had ceremonies in honor of their namesakes. Individuals are also welcome to reserve a tribute. A donation of $250 per dedication is asked. Funds raised help cover the cost of programs, services, and special events such as wreath-laying ceremonies, Bells of Peace commemorations, historical presentations, and more. Those who need financial assistance with a tribute can email a request to tapstorch@doughboy.org. Each specially dedicated sounding of taps is streamed live on the Doughboy Foundation's YouTube channel and is housed there. The veteran's name is prominently displayed on the video. Frameable certificates are also printed and delivered in honor of the moment. To make reservations, visit doughboy.org/daily-taps/reserve-your-dedication. On Point, the American Legion in Washington. Authorized use of military force. We are finally, legally, bringing a war to a close today. U.S. Senator Todd Young, Republican, Indiana, at a March 16th American Legion press conference after the Senate advanced bipartisan legislation repealing the 1991 and 2002 authorizations for the use of military force, AUMFs, in Iraq, a move the Legion has long sought to restore congressional oversight before the declaration of war. Dropping these war authorizations has a way of sending a very powerful signal that the United States and Iraq working together will be a voice for stability in the region. U.S. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat, Virginia, speaking at the March 16th press conference. The American Legion's position calling for repeal of the 1991 and 2002 AUMFs is supported by Resolution 22, passed by the National Executive Committee in October 2020, which made the point in one whereas clause that the post-9/11 AUMF has been in effect over twice as long as the 1964 to 1971 Gulf of Tonkin Resolution that gave President Lyndon B. Johnson authorization without a formal declaration of war by Congress for the use of conventional military force in Southeast Asia. Status: the Senate voted to repeal AUMFs on March 29th by a 66-30 vote. The measure was set to go to the House of Representatives at press time. American Legion, Tango Alpha Lima Podcast. Legion Podcast features unique veteran stories. The American Legion Tango Alpha Lima Podcast turned 3 on April 1st. Recent episode highlights include retired Navy SEAL and former NASA chief astronaut Chris Cassidy sees his new role as president, CEO of the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation as a great opportunity to continue to serve. Air Force Ken Corigliano, whose TBI heightened his senses, increased his ability to learn, and bolstered his athletic success. When someone says banana, I see it, I taste it, I feel it. Marine Corps veteran Brianna Renner, who serves as CEO of the Veterans Yoga Project. Our mission is to support the recovery and resilience of veterans and military families and communities. Check out these and more than 170 other episodes at legion.org/tangoalphalima. My GI Bill, Veterans and Education by Valerie Hefner. How to switch GI Bill chapters. Question: I'm enrolled full-time at a California school that is online. I qualified for a scholarship that pays my tuition fees and books. Last semester, I used my post-9/11 GI Bill educational benefits. My monthly housing allowance was $916.50. According to VA, I'm eligible to receive Chapter 30 and/or Chapter 33 benefits. Is it better to use Chapter 30, given that it pays $2,210 a month? Answer. VA allows an eligible veteran to switch from Chapter 33 to Chapter 30. If the veteran has already utilized some of their Chapter 33 benefits, it counts against how many months of Chapter 30 benefits the veteran may receive. Those qualifying for two different chapters are entitled to 48 months of full-time benefits. To switch chapters, complete an application at va.gov and elect the day you want to switch your chapter. VA will send a certificate of eligibility, which must be provided to the school to ensure the correct benefit is certified. The best resource on choosing the correct benefit is the GI Bill comparison tool at VA's website. Valerie Hefner is a Marine Corps veteran and member of American Legion Post 27 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Ask Valerie at legion.org. A new Arizona. For the first time since December 7, 1941, the Navy will have a USS Arizona serving in the fleet. As Popular Mechanics reports, the new Arizona is a Virginia-class attack submarine. The sub's keel was laid recently at General Dynamics Electric Boat's Quonset Point facility in Rhode Island. Of the 2,403 Americans killed during the Pearl Harbor attacks, 1,177 were aboard the battleship Arizona. Unlike other ships, which were raised and repaired after the attack, Arizona was too badly damaged, becoming a permanent memorial to the attack in 1962. Popular Mechanics notes, adding, the U.S. Navy frequently reuses ship names, but until now has never reused Arizona. USAA Focus on Finances by J.J. Montanaro. How to Secure 2.0 Act Changes Retirement. The Secure 2.0 Act has a laundry list of promising provisions to be implemented over the next 10 years. Overall, it looks like the bipartisan effort yielded a product that will offer the potential to enhance your retirement. I've boiled it down to 7 provisions I'm pretty sure will touch your life. Auto enrollment and auto escalation. Behavioral finance experts have long touted these two features as ways to increase retirement plan participation and contributions. Beginning in 2025, big employers will be required to have at least a 3% auto enrollment feature in their plans, and an auto escalation of participants' contribution by 1% per year up to a maximum in the 10% to 15% range as you save for retirement. Savers Match. The current program provides non-refundable tax credits for low to moderate income folks who contribute to a retirement plan at work or an IRA. It hasn't driven the results the government would like to see, so in 2027, it will be replaced by a simplified Savers Match program. For those who qualify, the new law calls for the government to directly contribute matching contributions equivalent to 50% of the first $2,000 a worker contributes to a retirement account. More retirement plan access for military spouses? Secure 2.0 aims to make it easier for military spouses to participate in work retirement plans by offering tax credits to small employers that make military spouses eligible for their plans within a couple of months of hiring. There is also provision for part-time workers to be eligible to participate in retirement plans sooner. While not designed for military spouses, these provisions, along with the tax credits, may offer them more opportunities to build for retirement. Required minimum distribution and catch-up. The age by which you have to start pulling money out of IRAs and retirement plans is pushed back to 73, effective this year. And in 2033, it will be pushed back to 75. In the future, catch-up contributions for those 50 and older, $10,000 in 2023, will track with inflation. A new, bigger catch-up contribution for those 60 to 63 was also part of the legislation. Roth matching. I'm often asked, why do the matching contributions my employer makes when I contribute to my Roth 401k go into my traditional account at work? Prior to Secure 2.0, the answer was simply, they have to. Beginning in 2025, employers will be able to offer the option of adding the matching money into the Roth account. The match would then be taxable income, so this will be one to discuss with your tax advisor. 529 for retirement. Beginning in 2024, money in 529 college savings plans that you haven't spent can be rolled into a Roth IRA for the 529 beneficiary. There are rules designed to keep this from being abused, e.g. lifetime cap of $35,000, no more than annual contribution in any one year, and the money has to have been in a 529 for 5 years before it can be rolled over. Student loans as elective deferrals. I've pounded home the idea of don't leave free money on the table as encouragement to contribute at least enough into your workplace plan to get the full employer match. Beginning in 2025, student loan payments made to your lender will qualify as an elective deferral and thus for a matching contribution from your employer in your work plan. J.J. Montanaro is a certified financial planner with USAA, the American Legion's preferred provider of financial services. Legion.org/USAA. We used to think Russia was the second best military in the world, and now it's not even the best military in the former Soviet Union. Corey Shake, a former U.S. government official in foreign and security policy. Caption, Russian military equipment destroyed by the Ukrainian army during the occupation of Kherson.